And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 147, coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where we're coming down off the high of a great convention weekend. Yep, C2E2 was this week, and we are going to have for you this week a complete convention report. We're going to have a listener email, and we are going to have our exclusive interview with artist Scott Collins. You might remember him from a little book called Thor Blood Oath that we covered some time back. For those of you who are regular listeners to the show, this show is going to be a little bit different. The format is not going to work quite the same. We're not going to review an issue this time. Yeah, I know. You want to hear the end of The Accursed. Patience, young Padawan, patience. The Accursed will be back next episode. But for now, we're going to talk about the convention. But before we do that, I just wanted to make a real big shout out to the latest three members of the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. Now, these are folks who joined us because of C2E2. These are people who I talked to at the convention, or in one case, just narrowly missed talking to. First of all, Jennifer Harvey. Welcome aboard, Jennifer. Jennifer was the first person to join our Facebook group after the convention. And Jennifer came all the way from Arkansas just to see the Radio Free Asgard booth. Well, okay, that's probably not really true. In fact, she probably didn't even know that we were going to be there. But anyway, Jennifer, I hope you had a very safe trip home. I know that there were tornadoes and heavy storms and things on your way back to Arkansas, and I just hope you got home okay. So do check in with us and let us know how you are. Next, Ryan Bond has joined the Facebook group. Now, Ryan has an interesting project in the works that we're hopefully going to be talking about on the show at some point in the near future. And of course, a very warm welcome along to Mr. Rob Southgate. All three of these are people who came up to our table and have subsequently joined the Facebook group. So thank you very much, folks. And I'll be honest, folks, this is why we went to C2E2, not only to get the word out about the show, but to make new friends. And hopefully you folks will enjoy the show and you guys will stick around. Now, in addition to our new friends, we also had some old friends stop by. And when I say old, I mean old. No, I'm just kidding. regular listeners, Lee Salisbury, Harry Weber, Walt Grogan, and our youngest verified listener, Silver Star, all showed up at the Radio Free Asgard table. I think all but Walt showed up on Sunday. I think Walt actually showed up early Saturday. Yeah, it was great to see everybody. You know, I hadn't seen any of that crowd for a real long time. These are people who I actually know in real life and have done geocaching with and who also listen to the show. And it was really, really great to see everybody there. We had a flash mob out front of the convention center, McCormick Place, at noon on Sunday, so kind of right in the busiest part of the day. So I was actually able to get away from the table for a while. One thing I will say, it is a whole different experience when you go to a convention as an exhibitor. And you wouldn't think so, because really the only difference between being an attendee and an exhibitor is that you have a built-in home base. And as long as you don't mind getting away from the table and leaving your table empty for short periods of time, you can actually go around and you can see everything. Not so much on Saturday, which is the busiest day and the day when everything is just jam-packed, crowded. But I tell you, the time to wander around is in that hour, hour and a half before the show floor opens. Because people are there, but they're not there. You know, you can still look at the merchandise, you can still look at the books, but people really aren't open for business, and it's only other exhibitors on the floor. Things are not crowded. It's more relaxed, especially Friday morning. Things were positively chill. It got a lot more hectic later in the weekend. But the atmosphere on the show floor first thing on Friday morning, like 8 o'clock Friday morning when the show floor opened at 11, it was just a really nice feeling and being able to go. And of course, we didn't have anything to set up. We had very, very little as far as the Radio Free Asgard table. We had a painting and an easel that was kind of our backdrop, and then we just had our postcards that we spread out on the table, and you know, people would come up and take them and that kind of thing. And of course, we had our little mascot, our little plushy Thor, and our little foam rubber Mjolnir. And the, you know, and we probably should have had more stuff on the table, but that did it for the weekend anyway. And you know, I learned a lesson as far as what we should do next year if we want to draw more people to the table. Yeah, we need to get somebody dressed as Thor just to stand out front. I'm afraid that's all there is to it. Anyway, we had a really cool experience on Friday morning, and one that, not to use a cliche, but I'm always going to remember it because it was an extraordinary meeting. We had set up our table. We were wandering around the convention floor, seeing this and that. And we were passing by a table, and we notice a guy there, older guy. He's sitting there sketching. And it turned out that this guy is Neil Adams. And I recognized him, and I kind of nudged Pete and, you know, hey, you know, that guy's Neil Adams. And he's like, oh. And Pete seemed really interested in Neil Adams. Now, Pete has only recently discovered who Neil Adams is. Pete is more, of course, he's of a different generation, and his titles that he has always been interested in are not titles that Neil Adams is associated with. And recently he started to read like old 1960s Avengers comics. He started to get a more of a sense of who the classic artists are. And on a whim, I decided, you know what? He's sitting by himself. He's not busy. The floor's not really open yet. Let's go up and introduce ourselves. So I went up and I introduced myself, and I didn't mention the show. And we proceeded to have a, you know, roughly 25-minute chat with one of the comics greats. And I have to say, you know, it's a conversation that I'm always going to remember. I don't remember what we talked about. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was a really, really nice conversation, genuinely pleasant. Neil Adams was in a great mood, and nobody was all stressed out because of the convention. He's sitting there sketching, had some beautiful sketches for sale. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. And we had this, you know, wonderful conversation, and about 5 minutes into it, I'm thinking, man, I wish I'd turned on the recorder. And in some ways, I'm kind of glad I didn't, because I think that if I had actually turned on the recorder, I think the conversation would not have been the same conversation. I think that probably he would have been more guarded. He may not have wanted to be recorded, you know, because it's not like I asked him to be on the show. And you know, he talked about the time he spent working with Stan Lee. He talked about his remembrances of Jack Kirby. He talked about how the stories that he worked on at Marvel were put together. And it was just a really, really casual, relaxed, pleasant conversation with one of the comics' greatest artists. And I will say, you know, it's one of those things that it's a once-in-a-lifetime sort of experience. And that, for us, is how the convention started. We really started out with a bang, I have to say. And of course, this is one of the main reasons why we go to conventions. We want to, you know, look at the stuff, and we might want to buy some books or whatever. But we really go there to meet the creators that we respect and who we admire. And even if we don't set out to meet a particular person, sometimes we have a meeting like this, and it kind of makes you think a little bit, you know? And we'll talk a little bit more about this later. But the other thing that, of course, always impresses me about any convention that I've been to is the cosplay. And C2E2 had a ton of cosplay, like they always do. And one of the things that Pete and I enjoy doing when we go to a convention is we kind of keep a mental tally of the most popular costumes, the ones that it seems like everybody is wearing this year. And this year was pretty varied. I don't think there was a dominant theme running throughout the thread of the convention, but there were definitely some mini themes kind of threaded in amongst the weekend. Of course, you had your usual Batman and Superman. We had a lot more Spider-Man than I'm used to seeing this year. Wonder Woman was a popular one for the females. But we also had an enormous amount of Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy. To me, I think that those two were probably the best represented characters among the female population of the convention. Among the guys, well, I have to say that Deadpool is probably a bit more popular than he probably should be. And of course, you have your plethora of Batman and Jokers and Superman as well. But one of the things that surprised me was how many Adventure Time costumes there were. Fins everywhere. More fins than you could shake your fins at. Just male fins, female fins. At one point, the female fins were actually way outnumbering the male fins in our memories. But and then we got Sunday, which is the kids' day, when people bring their children to the convention. And then, of course, then male fins were everywhere. So it kind of evened up on Sunday. The other thing, and this is particularly Thor-related here, was the number of female Lokis. Tons of them, just all over the place. I understand that this was a character that, you know, was in the Thor books at one point. And I guess that's just an alternative to doing something like Wonder Woman. But it just seemed like there were a lot of female Lokis. Anyway, and some of them very good at that. I mean, you know, there were a lot of fantastic costumes this year, as there always are. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I wish I had that talent. I really wish I had the talent to do cosplay and to create my own costume. Now, of course, at this point in my life, I think the only character that I could probably get away with dressing as convincingly would be Odin. And that would be a lot of fun to be Odin. And I've actually thought about doing a cosplay as Odin. If anybody out there is really good at cosplay, let me know. You can make me an Odin costume and I'll go as Odin next year. But of course, the cosplay is always a lot of fun. Now, some of the more interesting things we saw, we saw a Corsair and Hepzibah. That is a hard thing to pull off. Hepzibah, of course, is that white cat lady who hangs out with the Starjammers over in Marvel's X-Men. And these were great costumes. Really fantastic. Of course, we had your Star Wars Stormtroopers, and this year, for some reason, a lot of Snowtroopers. But it's amazing at some of the skill that goes into these costumes. We saw a pretty good Doctor Strange. We saw a really nice Scarlet Witch. There were a number of characters who I've never seen cosplayed before. You know how rare it is to see a good Doctor Strange cosplay? Yeah, I mean, it's just not something you see every day. And I do like to see that variety. Now, unfortunately, when you're in Artist Alley, as we were, you don't see all of the cosplay because a lot of them are kind of trapped in the larger common areas. So people will be in the front, like near the front entrance where there's this big open area. People with the more elaborate costumes, they aren't going to try to go down these narrower aisles like you have in Artist Alley. Though, to be honest, they're none too narrow. I mean, I think that there are the aisle that we were on, which is the aisle between C and D, was actually about 10 feet wide. So it was a pretty good width here, and we did have some larger costumes kind of trundle down. We had a full-size Dalek coming down the aisle at one point, and on Saturday when things were at their busiest. So, you know, it can be done. And of course, one of the other good things about having a table, having a booth, is that the people who are dressed in costume just kind of parade past you. You don't have to actually go looking for them. They actually come right by you. And eventually you'll see most of them. I think that a lot of people do conventions the way that Pete and I do. And you try to see everything. So you go down all of the aisles in Artist Alley. You go down all of the aisles in the main part of the convention and so forth. And so generally speaking, you do see almost everyone. Now, that being said, I've seen pictures of some fantastic costumes that we never saw. These people just never came to our area of the convention. And you know, that's kind of a shame. So I guess any discussion of a comics convention would not be complete without bragging about my swag. Yeah, I'm not really a guy who buys a lot of comics at conventions. I tend to find that the back issues at conventions can be rather overpriced. I don't really buy a lot of books because I'm trying to get rid of stuff. I'm not trying to get more stuff. And I'm really not somebody who buys a lot of toys or t-shirts or that kind of thing either. What I've been buying for about the last 10 years is original comics art. I like the idea of owning a piece of comics history, something that is one of a kind, something that has been published, and something that just has reached out and grabbed me. And so the pieces that I own are pretty few, but I would like to think is a very high quality little group of pages. Up until this year, most of my comic art buying has been related to the Legion of Superheroes. I've been trying to get pages from each era of the Legion as we go along. And I'm getting to a point where I've got most of them covered at this point. I mean, obviously, I don't have anything from the 50s or 60s. Those are pages that are hard to come by. I can't imagine that a Kurt Swan Legion page or George Papp Legion page is going to go for any less than a couple thousand bucks. That's way outside my budget. But if anybody has one out there that they want to give me, that's great. But of the three pieces of art that I bought at this convention, only one of them actually had to do with the Legion. The other two are actually Thor-related. And this year, for the first time, I actually bought some convention sketches. This is something that I've resisted in the past. The reason I've resisted it in the past has to do with the fact that I'd like to have something that's actually seen print. And this year, there were a couple things that just kind of jumped out at me. One of which was an Ultra Boy sketch done by Scott Collins, who we're going to be interviewing a little bit later in the show. But the other was actually a Thor sketch. And yes, it was by Neil Adams. I blew my entire art budget on one piece by Neil Adams, but it was totally, totally worth it. Like I was saying, we were talking with him on Friday morning. I was leafing through the various sketches that he had for sale. Now, Neil Adams, like a lot of other artists, he does pieces in advance. And so if somebody says, hey, you got a sketch of the Submariner, or you got a sketch of the X-Men, or you got a sketch of Thor, whatever, you know, he's more than likely that he'll have something that he's prepared in advance. And for an artist like Neil Adams, you know, pages of original art don't come up every day. And when they do, they are super pricey. That's just kind of the nature of the person who you're dealing with. And so in that particular kind of situation, your best bet to get something fairly affordable is to buy a convention sketch. And he had some Thor ones, and they were all fairly similar to each other. Some were less detailed, some were more detailed. And he had one in particular that I really liked. It's a profile shot of Thor holding up Mjolnir. And most of the Thor sketches he had were pretty much in the same pose. And I asked him how much it was. He said, that one is 300. And I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, it's awfully rich. You know, that's awfully expensive for me. And I decided not to get it. I decided to pass on it. And over the course of the weekend, as I sat there, I kept thinking about that. You know, it's like, you know, it would be a great thing to have a Neil Adams sketch. And it would be a great thing to have a Neil Adams Thor sketch. And thought about it. And finally on Sunday, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm going to get that sketch. Now, I went back to Neil Adams and I was talking to his wife, who was in charge of, you know, taking people's money and that kind of thing. And unfortunately, the sketch that I really wanted had been sold. But he had a couple of others, like I said, they're all kind of fairly similar to each other. And he had some of these lower priced ones that weren't quite as detailed. And I asked Mrs. Adams, so you have some of these $200 sketches that aren't quite as detailed. Would Neil be willing to take one of these $200 sketches and make it into a $300 sketch, add a little bit of detail to it? And she didn't really know, but so she went and asked him, and he said, oh, okay, yeah, sure, why not? So I actually, in addition to that conversation that I'd had with Neil Adams on Friday, actually had a chance to sit with Neil Adams for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and actually watch him draw. And that is quite the experience as well. He wasn't talking to me during this time. He had other people coming up to the table. There was a steady stream of people who were bringing up books to sign, prints to sign, people who wanted their picture taken. So it took a little bit longer than maybe it would have otherwise taken. But it was interesting to be sitting in a chair next to Neil Adams as he was sketching and actually enjoying watching him work. I mean, you watch a master craftsman. And the sketch turned out gorgeous. Now, granted, it blew my entire art budget for the convention. But I got a $300 sketch, and well worth it. And one of these days, when I have a scanner, I'll actually post a picture of it on the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group, and you can all see it. But that was the second piece of art that I got. And the third that I actually picked up is an original comics page by, wait for it, you're all going to be jealous, Oliver Coypel. It's an Oliver Coypel Thor page. And it was unique among the pages that he had there for sale in that it was the only page he had that showed Thor that was less than about $500. And I felt that I got a steal of this original page for $125. It was a great page. It's from Thor number one. And it has Thor on it, but he's not in costume. But in addition to that, the page just reached out and grabbed me. It was one of those that you see it, you follow the line of the composition, and it just draws you in. And so as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay, that's the page I want. Even though there were more expensive pages there, there were some brilliant pages. There was a beautiful page of Odin that I would have loved to have, but it was like $1,200. Anytime you have a hero in costume, yeah, forget it. It's going to be too much. And I saw this one is, you know, very modestly priced. It's a beautiful page. And it's like I snagged it right up. So that was my score. I got an original Oliver Coypel Thor page. I got a beautiful sketch of Thor by Neil Adams. And I got a nice Ultra Boy sketch by none other than Scott Collins. And so that was my haul. And so I'm going to be done bragging about that now. All right. So that's about it for the C2E2 talk. And we're going to have our interview with Scott Collins in just a moment. But before I go into that, I actually have a piece of mail that we received on last episode. And this comes from our longtime listener, Eugene Hendricks. And Gene does a show of his own. He has a show over on the Two True Freaks Network called The Hammer Podcasts, which is a spinoff of his blog, The Hammer Strikes. And so you guys should go check out his podcast over there. I think he only has a couple of them, but yeah, there's it's still good, still worth listening to. And Gene had this to say. He said, "Tom, I just finished listening to your latest episode about Thor, God of Thunder, number 15, and I have to say that I am appalled." Well, a lot of people have that reaction to my show. Oh, he says, goes on to say, "Not with the episode, you were excellent as always, but with the treatment of Alfheim in this comic. I'm really glad that I don't own a copy of this because I would have to tear it up and burn it." Wow, that's a strong response. "Not only am I a fan of Thor comics, especially the Simonson run, but I am actually a heathen, meaning I worship these gods as my religion. I know that the comics are separate from the lore, but to see Alfheim treated as some kiddified Candyland just gets me so worked up that I want to smack the writer over the head with my copy of Kevin Crossley Holland's Norse Myths. I'm not one to get offended easily, but when you take something that I believe in and change it this radically, it really pisses me off, and you don't want to make a heathen angry. Sorry for the rant, but I had to get that out of my system, and I know you feel the same way. Keep up the great work, from Gene." Well, first of all, Gene, thanks very much for writing in. I really do appreciate it. It's been a while since we've actually had an email. I think the last one was from Mark in Stratford. It was way a long time ago. It seems that the listeners to this show tend to want to interact with each other on Facebook, and that's fine because that's what the Facebook group is for. But it is nice to every once in a while to get an actual email. But yeah, you're right. I kind of feel the same way that you do. For me, it's not about, you know, taking the lore seriously as somebody who worships the Norse gods does. I doubt that when Jason Aaron was coming up with these ideas that he's considering the feelings of Asatruar. I think that probably there's just too few of you out there for him to actually take that into consideration. For me, it doesn't make sense because we need to have, I don't know, I hate to say serious, but I think that it behooves us to have realistic worlds and not the sort of North Pole candy cane fantasy land. It doesn't make sense to me that this would be part of the realms that make up the nine worlds. This would work, like I said, I think I said it in the last show, this would work a lot better if this were a Neil Gaiman story. But when you look at the type of story that Jason Aaron likes to tell, these sort of violent stories, a little bit of a dark edge, it seems a bit incongruous and unnecessary. And even though my reasoning for disliking that is different from yours, I think we actually come pretty much to the same idea, and that's pretty much this.
Unacceptable! Unacceptable!
All right, so that being said, it is time to take a little bit of break, and then after our little break, we will be back with our interview with Scott Collins.
Hello and thank you for calling the Tales of the Justice Society of America 24-hour live human being customer service hotline.
Hello,
Unfortunately, all of our representatives are sleeping, or busy, busy. All of our representatives are busy right now. But if you stay on the line, your call will be answered in reverse Hungarian alphabetical order, starting with the letter
D.
Okay.
Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line.
All right.
We are experiencing longer than usual wait times. Your call will be answered in
94
minutes. Please continue to hold. Your call is extremely important to us. Please stay on the line. Check us out on the web at www.twotruefreaks.com. Your call is ridiculously important to us.
Yeah, if my call's so important, then why don't you answer it? What the f*** is taking so long?
You may be asking yourself, what the f*** is taking so long?
Please
be sure that we'll be with you shortly. Please continue to hold.
Answer. Answer the goddamn...
Let me check. Is he still there?
Ah!
Guys, he's still holding.
Oh,
we're sorry for your wait. Please continue to hold.
God damn it!
Tales of the Justice Society of America is back with all new episodes, only at twotruefreaks.com.
And we're back. And to wrap up the show, we are going to have the crowning glory of the show, the grand finale, as it were, with our interview with Mr. Scott Collins live from C2E2. Take it away. Okay, everybody, and we are here at C2E2 Day 2, and I am joined here by none other than artist extraordinaire, Mr. Scott Collins. Scott, how's your show so far?
It's very good. Thank you very much.
So could you just, for the people who are not really familiar with you and your work, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I've been drawing comics for a little over 20 years. I'm mostly known for The Flash because I did that for about 3 years with the all-star writer Geoff Johns. But I've had long runs on Legion of Superheroes. I've had a long time with The Avengers and a bunch of other stuff. I've been working for all the companies now, so I've covered just about everything. Spider-Man, Green Lantern, name it, I've done it. Oh, Godzilla too, all the stuff.
So of all the various projects, which ones are kind of the closest to your heart?
Flash is probably the easiest choice of saying closest to my heart, because I spent the longest on there, and I was working with Geoff, and we just had the best time working together. We were such a great pair up. Thor Blood Oath actually is one of the other favorites of my list. And then probably the next ones that come to mind immediately are the ones that I got to write and draw, which has always been a goal of mine. I wrote and drew a series of Solomon Grundy, Citizen Cold, and then various other things that I've done for DC mainly was writing and drawing.
So what projects are you currently working on that we can look forward to?
I just finished a whole 12 issues of Larfleeze, where I got to work with Keith Giffen and Mark DeMatteis, and that was a whole load of fun working with them. I think we had a great time developing a whole new kind of book for DC that they haven't had before. Then after that for DC, I just finished a half an issue of Teen Titans, issue 30. And right after that, the last thing I just finished for this convention was Action Comics issue number 32.
Great. So, of course, my listeners are going to be more familiar with your work on Thor, in particular Thor Blood Oath, which by all accounts is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous book. My first question about Blood Oath is it's obviously way more detailed than a lot of the stuff that you've been doing on the Legion. Did you have a lot more time to work on this book than you did on some of the others?
It wasn't actually a matter of time. The Legion stuff got a little more open or sparse just because of the style of the story that was going on and kind of what I think of Legion. That's how the art generally influences. It's not a matter of time versus this project or that project. That happens occasionally. But with Thor, mostly that was just the joy of finally getting to work on classic Thor. I had Mike Oeming, who was doing a great storyline. so much fun, so much open. I got a whole, like, a half an issue where you got to fight Hercules. It's just the kind of stuff that, you know, as a Thor fan when I was growing up, that you just dream about, all this great stuff going on. And I got the Warriors 3. I mean, I got everybody in there that I wanted. Practically, I got Absorbing Man. They gave me Ulic at the end, everything that I could have asked for. So it was just, it just flowed out of my hands.
One of the things that I really was impressed by the Bodo series is the variety of different settings that you had to work with. You got to work with, you know, Olympus, and that had all the nymphs and Hercules and then all the Greek gods. And it's amazing how each of the different worlds that are in the series are delineated in really a unique way. And one of my favorites personally is the scene with the dead gods, the sort of Japanese style gods. Were you influenced a lot by Mike Mignola in that?
That's a tricky question, because it's really hard not to be influenced by Mike Mignola in anything that you do. I think for any comic artist out there, he's almost attained a level of Jack Kirby in that way. That specifically, I don't know if he influenced me. I might have looked at a short story or two that Mike had done that was in Japan setting or something like that. I can't remember if I directly looked at something, but I'm always influenced by Mike Mignola. He's absolutely one of my favorite guys out of the last current generation or two of artists. But I really did enjoy all those locales too that you mentioned, showing the more Greek, you know, paradise looking area and the Japanese, and we went to Ireland or Scotland or whatever with the Celtic stuff and everything. That was all cool. That was definitely influenced by Mike, because I knew I was going to see all of his like carvings on stones and all that kind of curvature and everything, all that Celtic almost tattoo work. It was just fun to do.
That was a really, really cool moment where they tried to drag Volstagg through the standing stone and he wouldn't fit. That was a funny, very funny scene.
Volstagg had a hard day that day too, if you'll remember correctly.
I seem to recall he kind of lost his head.
Yes, he did.
So in terms of working on future Thor stuff, is that something that's a possibility? Is that something that you might want to do in the future?
Oh, I would love to, in a heartbeat. In fact, that's how Blood Oath happened. Was I was working on Marvel Team Up at the time. I was working on issue maybe 6 or 8, I think around 6. And then I was told from the editorial that Marvel Team Up was going to be canceled. It was going to be coming to an end. Okay, well then my editor at the time was Tom Brevoort, and I said, okay, well, you know, do me a favor, I'm exclusive, so let me know what next can be possible for me to jump onto since Marvel Team Up is going to be ending. And by the time I got to issue 8 or 9 of Team Up, Tom said, hey, I know you're a big Thor fan because we've talked about it many times. When I first came over to Marvel at that point, I was supposed to get on Thor, the monthly book. He told me then about this Blood Oath possibility. I said, yes, please. He goes, well, you'd have to jump ship now on Marvel Team Up, but you'll probably only lose a couple issues here at the end of Marvel Team Up, and then you'll do this Thor Blood. Like I said, okay, if I have to jump now for Thor Blood Oath and Team Up's already going to be dying, then let's go. It was only funny that poor Robert was left alone for a bunch more months than that, because he wound up talking Marvel into like 8 more issues or almost 10 more issues, I think, after that. So he made it last almost another year, which I didn't know was going to happen, but I had to jump on Thor at that time on Blood Oath, and that was the dream. It was great. Tom gave me a total present at that time, so I would love to do it again anytime.
In terms of a potential Scott Collins run on Thor, what would your dream scenario be? Would it be you writing and drawing it, or is there a particular writer that you've always wanted to work with on a series like that?
Honestly, right now off the top of my head, and I'm not trying to be just narrowly focused on what we just said before, but the dream writer on Thor for me might be Mike Mignola, and then me writing it. If that was not the case, then yes, the dream writer and team for me would be me doing it by myself. Either that or, you know what, Jeff Johns, but he's a DC guy. Jeff Johns would be a good dream team, I think, on Thor. I think he would do a great job with that subject matter as well.
I can only imagine what Jeff Johns might do in the Asgardian universe. Yeah. If you look at the stuff that he's been doing all over DC.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for your time. I don't want to take up all your time here at the convention. I hope you have a great show, and it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
And thank you, sir. The Mr. Scott Collins, everybody.
So, in closing the show, just another huge thank you for Scott Collins for agreeing to talk to us on the show floor. It was a busy convention for everybody, and it's greatly appreciated when somebody takes time out of their busy schedule to talk to some podcast they've never heard of, and it really is definitely appreciated on this side. All right, so it is about time to wrap up the show for this week. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. Welcome to all of you new listeners who are out there because of our appearance at C2E2. We really do appreciate it. And of course, you can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And of course, we also have the Facebook group, as some people have already discovered. Just look for us in the searchy box on Facebook and you will find us. And with that, we are back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends or leave us an iTunes review or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.